Bible for the reading of the Word. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that right now this gospel message, this powerful truth that resides within these words, within this text, that it be made alive for us today through the power of your Holy Spirit, that it touch us in our hearts, that it reveals something about your character to us, and that we are able to hear it and learn from it. Bless this time that we have with you and with each other. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So far, the past few weeks, we've been moseying through Mark, and it's been very mission-minded. We've been talking about Jesus' ministry, looking at what his ministry was like, what he was doing, and then applying that to ourselves and figuring out our own role within ministry and trying to figure out how we can do the work of God, the work of the kingdom, which is, of course, the most important work that we can do. But today we're going to look at something in this passage that has just as much to do with ministry, but not in the way that we normally think. Normally, when we think of doing something or ministry, we think of doing something. We think of being active, of getting out there, rolling up our sleeves and serving and all of that. And that is very important. We have to be an active church. We have to be an active body. But there comes a time where we just have to silence everything and unplug for a moment. And that's what this passage points to today. A lot of people will take this passage and say that we can gain from it that our faith should help us overcome the storms, that there are storms in life and our faith is what makes us strong. And certainly that is a message that can be taken from this passage. But something that gets glossed over a lot of times is why Jesus was getting in the boat in the first place. And if you look at it, it says that he was leaving the crowd behind. Jesus had been very busy up to this point. He had been very worn out. I'm sure the stresses of people coming to him all the time, wanting to hear what he had to say, if he could touch them, heal them. And he says, "Let's get in the boat and let's just go to the other side. Let's get away from the crowd for a moment." And what does Jesus do when Jesus relaxes? He just completely relaxes. He climbs in that boat and goes to sleep. And the disciples are worried, they're panicked, and the storms come, the rains come, and the winds, and they're just all in a panic. And there's Jesus, just taking it easy, sleeping in the boat. He realized that he had to unplug, that he had to get away, that he had to shut down for a little while. And that's what he did. Now, we know that we need a Sabbath. We know that we need a vacation from time to time. We need time to rest and to recharge our batteries. But the truth is, we're terrible at it. We are terrible at taking a day off when we should. And then when we do take a day off, what do? We don't rest the way that we ought to a lot of times. What do we do when we have vacation time? We go on a trip. We travel. We have lots of fun activities, and those are wonderful. It's great to have fun and to go on trips and all. But then we come back even more exhausted, don't we? Have you ever heard somebody say or said yourself, I need a vacation to recover from my vacation? I've been there. I know what that's like. Especially with two small kids. You go on a vacation, you come back worn out. The truth is, we are terrible at unplugging and resting and recharging. And it shouldn't be that way. God created the Sabbath for a reason. He recognized that we need to refresh. We need to take time to get alone. And there are distractions. And in this story, there's storms, there's the waves, there's the wind, the rain. There's all these storms surrounding them. And the disciples are in panic mode. But those are the distractions. And when we take time to recharge, when we take time to rest, you will find that there are always going to be distractions to keep you from doing it. Whether it's the fun stuff on a vacation, or whether it's things that come up. You know, sometimes we talk about Murphy's Law. Other times we say that it's just downright spiritual attack. That something is going to keep us from doing what we know we ought to do. Now, I'm not saying that if an emergency happens or something that's out of our control happens, we should just ignore it. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of times when we try to pull back and rest and recover, recharge our batteries, get alone with God, whatever it is, there will be things that are competing for our attention. Things that keep us from resting. And of course, we can choose to give into that or not. Just because we're in the boat escaping the crowd doesn't mean that we're resting. Have you ever been in bed at night and all these worries and thoughts start popping up in your head? Just one after another, and you don't sleep at all. Because you sit there thinking about all these things that you need to do tomorrow, things that you need to change, whatever it is. And then what happens? You don't get any sleep. You don't rest. You're there in bed. You're cozy and comfy. But you don't get the rest that you need because you can't shut off the worry. And you didn't solve anything. And a lot of times that's the problem. We think that it's all in our power. It's all in our control. And really, what we need to do is just unplug. Now, I'm not saying that we need to just ignore everything and escape. This is not a call to inaction. But it is a call to rest in our faith. To realize that sometimes when we let go, at least just long enough to rest, our faith will grow stronger in the process. And so will our minds and our bodies. Now, what happens when we become too tired, when we become fatigued? We're not as effective, whether it's in our ministry or in our personal communications or our relationships, whatever it is. We're not sharp. Our minds aren't what they should be. Now, I know there's an urban legend, something about if you stay awake for 3 days, you go clinically insane and you hallucinate and all that. And I don't think there's any truth to that. But they do say that if you go long enough without sleep, you do begin to dream while you're awake, which can be a dangerous thing. And if you go on WebMD and you look up the results of sleep deprivation, it gives you a long list of terrible things that can happen to you if you don't get enough rest. First of all, it starts off by saying that the 1979 nuclear accident at Three Mile Island and the massive Exxon Valdez oil spill both occurred because somebody didn't get enough sleep before they came into work. Sleep deprivation can cause heart disease, heart attack, heart failure, irregular heartbeats, high blood pressure, and stroke. Lack of sleep affects your body. It ages your skin. It kills your libido, and it makes you gain weight. It also causes depression. A study in 2005 showed that people who were diagnosed with depression were more likely to only sleep 6 hours or fewer a night. Lack of sleep can also cause psychotic episodes. even in people who have a history of mental stability. In other words, rest is very important. Your body will start shutting down if you don't get enough. And the body of the church is the same way. If you don't rest it, if you don't recharge it from time to time, it will start to break down. Now, Jesus woke up and he rebuked the winds and the seas. And then he turns to the disciples and he kind of rebuked them too. He said, "Your faith is small." Now, this raises some very intriguing questions. First of all, was he implying that it was in their power to calm the storm themselves? I don't have the definite answer on that, but it's an interesting question. Now, if that is what he was implying, then what I just said about us trying to do everything ourselves sort of doesn't fit. But he says this to them, like, you know, "Your faith was so small, why couldn't you do something about it?" At least that's what we take from it. So maybe he is saying that the distractions around us, you could have taken care of those yourself. But is that really what he's saying? Or is he saying that we should sleep through them? "Look, you're tired, there's storms going on, there's distractions going on, just ignore them for a while." I don't think that's what he's saying either. But he does say, "You were afraid." Why were you afraid? "Because your faith was small." In other words, the disciples were in panic mode because they didn't have faith. He wasn't saying they could have calmed the storms themselves. He wasn't saying they should have ignored the storms. But if they had been resting in their faith, they would not have been afraid. They would not have been filled with fear. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. Are you able to rest in your faith, even with things going on around you? Because storms are going to happen, things are going to come up, and there's nothing we can do to change that a lot of times. Sometimes there is, but sometimes things bad just happen. But are we able to rest in our faith in the midst of it? Are we able to cry out to God, not out of panic, not out of fear, but because of our faith, knowing that He's there with us? Now, Jesus gets in the boat, he escapes the crowd, he's resting, he's sleeping, he quiets the storms. So I imagine he probably laid back down and finished his nap. I don't know. But eventually he came back. And that's the thing about Sabbath. It's not just a never-ending weekend of rest and peace. You got to come back. That's why you take it in the first place, so that when you come back, you are recharged. One of the most important things that we're doing as a church right now, we're in the middle of it right now, is we're taking a break, sort of, in January. We have these fellowship dinners every month throughout the year, or an event of some type. And then in December, we have the Hanging of the Greens, we have the Christmas Cantata, we have the Christmas Eve service, the Advent stuff, never mind the personal stuff that comes with Christmas, where the holidays, the traveling, all of that. So we come back and we start the year off in January, and the first question everybody wonders is, we don't have the church calendar made up yet, are we going to have a fellowship dinner this month? And the answer is no. We need a break. And of course we do have meetings, we come together and we talk about the church calendar and all of that. But it is very important for us to start the year off not overtaxing ourselves, not stressing ourselves out, so that when February comes around, we're refreshed, we have a new perspective on things. And that's what ministry is all about. And as we're going through Mark and we're looking at Jesus' ministry and how we can learn from it, this right here is an important part of it. Recognizing when you just need to rest in your faith. When I was a teenager, I worked at Camp Joy, so for Valley Rescue Mission. It's a camp for underprivileged kids, and it was Monday through Friday, and then you get the weekend off, and then a new group of kids comes in the next week. It's 3 weeks, and I was a volunteer, meaning I was in charge of a cabin full of kids. Like, I was basically their parent for a week. And every week, the first day, it was exciting. I was just ready to share the love of God with them, teach them everything I knew, just give them the love that they needed to know in their lives, to take them to the chapel services. I was excited about it. By Friday, I didn't want to have anything to do with those kids. I was ready for them to get back on the bus and go home. I was so exhausted. But I would come home, and on those Saturdays, I would sleep like for 20 hours. I was so tired, I would just sleep straight through the day. And have Sunday to kind of, you know, collect myself. And then when I would come back on Monday, I was ready for another week of it. Just like that. Those 2 days of rest and recovery were essential for the ministry that would take place the next week. My pastor, when I was growing up, I never knew him to really take vacations. I never knew him to take a sabbatical or any time off. He was my pastor for years and years and years and years. And then later on, I was late teens, maybe early 20s. I was in my early 20s, not him. He retired. And nobody thought much of it. You know, he was getting on up in age, and so he retired. And a few months after he retired, he started pastoring another church. He realized that his work was not done. His ministry was not done. And so he came back as a pastor again. But he needed that time. He thought he was done because he was tired. He was exhausted. And he retired and he quit, and then he realized his work wasn't done. He just needed some time to recharge, to get his vision, to align his vision with God once again. And once he did that, he realized the work wasn't done. But he came back and he pastored for another 15 years after that. Sometimes we need a break from ministry just so we can come back and be more effective. And that doesn't mean stay gone. It just means let your faith grow while you rest. Our mind is always sharper when we unplug it. If you have a computer or a cell phone or anything like that and you've ever experienced problems and you call the customer service number, what's the first thing they tell you? Unplug it. Shut it down and reboot. And a lot of times that works. Our minds are always sharper once we unplug them for a little while. Our bodies are always fresher once we've let them recover and recuperate. And our faith always grows bigger when we learn to rest in it. How much of the chaos and the turmoil and the distractions and all of that are we capable of simply diffusing by letting ourselves rest in our faith? How much of our worry and chaos and distractions are self-induced? These are questions that we need to consider for ourselves and for our church. If we're going to go out and make ourselves available to God, we have to first prepare ourselves. And that includes quieting the storms when it's within our control to do so, and resting in our faith and trusting Him when it's not. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that we are not the best at quieting the storms, at avoiding the distractions. We are not the best of resting in our faith when worrying seems so much more productive. But help us to realize that it is never more productive. The thing that is always the most productive is to rely on You, to trust in You, and to let the world turn while we rest in Your arms. Give us the strength and the wisdom to do this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 368, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. If you made a decision of any type today, I invite you to come forward as we sing. Please stand if you are able. Hymn number 368.